Are you, for the 163rd Christmas in a row, trying to enjoy eggnog, even though, you know, you don't understand why? You don't understand why. I like it with a shot or two or three in it. Speaking of that, oh, man, wait till you hear what I got to say when we join the network at about 5:50. Speaking of that, wait till you hear what... Well, let me just say this. I have to bring our program director in here, David G. Hall, to assist me in this hour with something that he did request to do. I'd like to also thank my producer, Mike Schaefer, for having my phone all ready to go. And everything is just coming up roses around here. See, when we walk in here at, oh, I don't know what it is, about 20 minutes to 7, and Carell has hijacked the engineer to do part of the show with him, then nothing gets done in this place. The light's on. We got to keep our mouths shut. And we can't get anything done. What are you doing? You picking through my basket of food, too?
Yes, Bill, I'm picking through your basket.
Carell's in here picking through my freaking basket, man. He's picking through my basket of stuff that the wonderful people at Auto Insurance Specialist sent over. And guess what? I can't have any of it because it's high in carbs.
You're right. I'm not supposed to either.
I can't eat that stuff. What are you doing? You going off your diet? I went off my diet on Friday night. Guess what I did? I had a carton of milk. I had a big piece of... I'm not eating any of it. But it's not going to stop the wonderful Terry Ray Elmer from digging in. Are you going to have some? Your hair looks fantastic, Terry Ray.
Good today.
Looks tremendous. The last time a man complimented her anywhere around this time slot, I think she told him to go to hell or what was it? Oh, asshole, that's it. But you look great. Well, have some of this stuff. You look great too, Carell. The whole place looks great. Everybody looks great. Auto insurance specialist. Have you started smoking again?
What's wrong with you?
There's nothing wrong. I'm feeling good. It's that time of year. Yes, it is that time. It's the most wonderful time of the year. Boo-da-da-da. How about if we do a musical one night? That's it, Schaefer. There's an idea. We've been looking for an original idea. That's it. One night, a whole musical, a three-hour musical. I'll do a monologue, and then it will dovetail with a certain song, and then I'll sing the song. And then I'll say, and now Terry Ray Elmer in the news department, she'll read a news story, and something will sort of inspire her. And
buonasera. Vi ringraziamo per aver scelto di volare con Phil Henry Air. Voleremo ad un'altitudine di 30.000 piedi e cappuccino. Il volo di stasera offrirà Al Pacino e devo inoltre annunciare che Mafia. And now, here is Phil.
Phil Henry Show at 1-800-449-8686. I asked our program director, David Hall, to join me this evening, and it's unusual. There are times when our vice president of syndication has joined us on this program, and it has been about a programming change or element. But I have to bring him on the air this evening because I was asked by him if he might join me on the air this evening, and I said, yes, you may, in light of what almost happened to me this weekend. I don't know how to put this to you, so I'm gonna put it to you as well as I can. I probably should stop drinking. Saturday night, and I'm gonna be as blunt as I can. I almost got my ass beat by three guys standing out in front of a night spot here in Southern California and a bouncer. Now, it was a complete mistake on their part, and I'm not going to go into any specifics, but it was a complete and utter mistake. They completely misread the situation. However, much of that misunderstanding was probably spurred on by the fact that I had had quite a bit to drink. I want you all to know, I will not say who I was with, but I was not driving. I will tell you, though, that I had quite a bit to drink. And it culminated in this confrontation that, fortunately, even in my state of mind, at that moment, I was able to diffuse by explaining very carefully. And I will say that I'm grateful to those individuals for allowing me to explain before they lit into me. I know I'm laughing, and it's kind of humorous now that I recount it, but seriously, at the time, I thought there was going to be some serious trouble. That's a tough one to have to deal with. And I know, David, you're listening right now, and I know that you wanted to add some things to this to our audience, so go ahead. And I do. I just want to tell you, man, how much I really appreciate you backing me up.
Phil, I'm very happy to be able to back you up. And I want to say to your listeners that I do believe, Phil, first of all, Phil, I think it's very important that you tell people you were not arrested.
That's absolutely correct. There was no arrest. The police were not called. It had nothing whatsoever to do with any breaking of the law. It had to do with a...
There was a misunderstanding between, as I understand it, Phil, there was a misunderstanding between you and these individuals, correct?
That is correct.
And I will say to your audience that I advised you not to go into the specifics because I don't think it was necessary. I think it's simply necessary to acknowledge to the audience that you might have been a little bit out of control. Is that correct?
I think that I don't know that I was out of control so much as it's possible that my, you know, I was, you know, some of my intentions were misunderstood.
And I also think it's important for people to know that this had nothing to do with you being unfaithful to your wife or picking up on women or anything like that.
That is absolutely correct. It had nothing to do with that. It was a misunderstanding between me and these gentlemen.
There were three or four bar patrons.
Actually, there was a couple. There were two bar patrons and a bouncer.
All right. So there were three individuals.
That is correct.
All right. And I asked to come on your program, Phil, because I want you to know, while I back you up and while I'm explaining with you to the audience what occurred, that we do have a morals clause in all of the contracts with all of the talent that we hire. And I dare say it is in just about every contract that you might read in the business world, something called a morals clause.
That's correct.
Now, what a morals clause basically is that you must remain above board in your behavior. And you must, and for instance, in dealing with me and in working with our company, you must maintain a moral standing within the community that will not bring down disrepute on any of the radio stations that you are on or on our company.
That is also correct.
So when people understand that we have a morals clause, they understand that we do demand a very high level of behavior from the people that we hire who are on the air and who are hired to be on the air as entertainers, as commentators, and as a good influence on the community.
That is also correct, and I want to reiterate what you said, David, that it's important for us in these positions to maintain in our personal behavior the very highest level of, well, I shouldn't say the highest level of behavior, but I mean we have to maintain, you know, a high level of behavior.
You have to maintain a moral level of behavior. I will give the audience an example of what we're talking about. You need to stay free, obviously, of arrest.
Yes, arrest for anything, misdemeanor, felony.
That is correct. You need to remain free from any run-ins with the law. You obviously need to behave in a way in your private life that does not bring down a disrepute. When you signed your contract with me, I demanded certain behavior of you that I felt was correct, and we will let the audience in on one of them. For instance, I asked you at the time, had your wife, Maria, ever had an abortion?
Yes.
And the answer was?
The answer was no. My wife has never had an abortion, and I also told you about what happened 20 years ago in Miami.
Yeah, Phil informed me, for instance, and the reason why we ask this is part of the morals clause that Phil works under. I do not want to hire a man whose wife has had an abortion. That just is a personal thing that I demand of all my hosts. Phil did inform me that 20 years ago he had a girlfriend who had an abortion and you paid for it, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
Are you ashamed of that?
Yes, sir, I am.
Okay, good, Phil. That's good. The second step in our morals clause is that we want our hosts to have some attendance at church, have some attendance in some spiritual community on a regular basis. So we ask our hosts, and in the contract that Phil signed, we ask him to bring us proof that he has attended Mass at least 3 times a month. Now, you are Catholic?
I was born Catholic, but I have returned to Mass since I signed my contract with you.
And you have gone to Mass?
I go to Mass 3 times a month, yeah.
And the way that Phil proves that to me is by bringing me a bulletin or one of the hymn sheets, correct, Vic?
Yeah. Well, what happens is they give us a bulletin, or they give us these little sheets where the music is printed on it, and I bring the bulletin in on Monday, and I show it to David to prove that I've been to Mass, and things like that.
The other thing that we asked Phil to do is to donate at least 10% of his yearly income to charity, and you give to charity, correct?
I do, yes.
You're raising the children Catholic or Christian, is that correct?
Yes, I am.
All right, and you give to charity?
I give 10% of my, I try to give 10% of my income. Sometimes it's not possible.
Well, we want you to give as close to that as you possibly can. The other thing that we ask of our hosts, and the reason why I'm saying this to everybody tonight, and by the way, I am David Hall, I am the Vice President of Syndication, is to let everyone know that we demand a very high level of behavior from our hosts.
That is correct, and I try the very best that I can to do that. One of the problems that I have, it's not always possible. The morals clause in my contract allows for us to sometimes not be 100%, but maybe 90%.
I understand that, Phil. For instance, I asked you, does your wife, Maria, cook all the meals at home? And you said last week you went out to dinner a couple of times, correct?
Yes.
Now, you know that in your contract, we want your wife cooking all those meals because we believe a home-cooked meal and a woman who stays at home means there is a moral background to your home. And you're telling me that not all of the meals you ate last week were home-cooked.
Well, Maria wasn't able to make all of the meals because of some...
I understand. You had some considerations with the kids in school.
That's correct. But I was able to purchase the Weaver's Loom, which we are going to set up.
Now, let me explain to the audience. We believe that a woman at home raising children is the best possible moral way to live. And we asked Phil to purchase for his wife, there are a number of stores, we could purchase a Weaver's Loom and a spinning wheel where she can work on clothing. So we asked you what, Phil, about Maria?
And then I have to take a break. Basically, you wouldn't sign the contract with me unless you were sure that my wife didn't work but was at home with the kids.
That is correct. That is part of the morals clause.
All right, I need a break. We'll be right back. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. I'm Phil Hendry, and I'm telling you these things about me so that you understand that I'm held to a very high standard contractually, and that includes having to go to church and having to donate my money to 10% of my income here from the show to charity. It's the Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. On the line, David G. Hall, Vice President of Syndication for our company. And my confession at the beginning of the show that this past weekend, I almost got into a serious physical confrontation at a local night spot here in Southern California. I'm not going to be any more specific than that, and I won't be any more specific with the story than to say, fortunately, it was diffused. It was a mistake on the part of the individuals involved, perhaps because of my alcohol intake. You know, I...
Phil, I don't think you need to explain or apologize anymore. I think it was very clear that there were no police involved. There was no breaking the law. You almost got into a fight, basically, right?
Well, it's not a fight. I mean, I would have gotten my rear end kicked. I mean, there were two guys, and there were three guys there, one of them a bouncer. And I just wanted people to know that, and I know that you wanted me to go on the air and to mention that.
And we want to mention to everybody that Phil has signed a contract that has a morals clause, which enforces certain behavior on him so that he is he's held to that behavior. We're talking about it. This is a man who is all of our hosts go to church three times a week, or three times a month, I should say. None of their wives have ever had abortions. All of their wives, in fact, stay at home and cook and take care of the home. Phil mentioned that he purchased a weaver's loom for his wife and a spinning wheel so that good home, you know, the good home kind of support from a wife is there. And I wanted to join you this evening, Phil, and talk a little bit about that.
I appreciate that. We're going to go to some phone calls here. Wichita on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
You got to be crazy about this deal.
Crazy about what?
Well, about
the fact that I almost got my rear end.
This contract.
I'm sorry?
I would turn in an apology right after I would turn in my resignation.
Why?
Well, I think that's crazy. I'm not going to turn this into an abortion debate.
All I'm saying is I don't understand. You haven't articulated why you think it's crazy. This morals clause is standard.
Is that really? Because
yes.
What line of work are you in, pal?
I'm in sales.
All right, if you sign a contract, especially in the entertainment business, many times there is a morals clause, meaning that your contract is violated or your contract is considered null and void if you go out and, get arrested, you are guilty of a felony or even charged with suspicious behavior. So you have to really, because this is a radio station, and in many cases they're television stations and movie studios that have a reputation to uphold with the community.
Yeah, well, I understand that.
And let me take over for just a second and explain that a lot of different morals clauses, I don't want my hosts, I don't want to hire any hosts whose wives, work outside the home. Okay?
Well, Phil, I got to tell you, I really don't think you got it. I don't know exactly
Wait a minute, I'm not done yet.
Oh, sorry.
I don't hire any hosts whose wives don't stay at home and cook for the kids and make sure that everything's, good at home. And I don't hire any hosts whose wives have had abortions. All right? That's the morals clause that Phil signed.
Correct.
Huh.
Okay, well, so that's kind of how it works. And,
yeah.
And I recognize your confusion and surprise of that, but that's kind of standard in the entertainment business.
I won't do it. I won't hire anybody whose wife's had an abortion. Now, Phil's wife's never had an abortion. Now, he did pay for an abortion 20, didn't you, Phil? You paid?
Yes, I did. And I 20 years ago, I had a girlfriend, and I was very young, and
Phil, your listeners aren't going to burn you at the cross for that.
No, I understand that. I just
it's good that he told me, though, because if I
hadn't thought
about it, and then I found out about it after I hired him, that'd be a violation of the morals.
Yes.
In other words, you don't want to hire any hosts who've paid to have for a woman to have an abortion.
Absolutely not. But since you were very honest about it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, okay, sir, so that's kind of how that works, and
well, I don't think, Phil,
right,
you should have to apologize for almost getting out of line. If you were out of line, like you said, you'd have probably got your back end kicked.
Yeah, fortunately, I was able to talk my way out of it.
I want Phil to be honest with the audience anytime anything even close to something bad happens.
Yeah, well, fortunately, there were no police involved.
But you mouthed off, didn't you?
No, I didn't. Well, yeah, I guess I did mouth off because it got, these three guys very angry at me, but it was a misunderstanding.
Well, yeah, and if you mouthed off, but you were able to cool the situation
It was cooled out.
Shows that you weren't really out of control.
That's right, and that's why Phil still has a job today, because he was able to chill it out. Okay, sir?
All right, well, I appreciate your call, sir.
Hey,
thanks a lot. All right, 1-800-449-8686. So that was the deal there.
Phil, I want to ask you something. I know you're not a practicing Catholic, but you were baptized, correct?
Yes, I was.
Have you been to confession lately?
I haven't been to confession, I don't know, probably in maybe a month or so.
All right. I wanted to tell you about a little-known encyclical in the Catholic Church, and that is one layperson in each country of the world is able to consecrate a host and is able to say Mass and hear confession. I'm very happy and proud to say that in America, that person is me.
Can we? Because I know you want to talk a little bit about this, David. You mentioned it before the show. Can we take a break?
Absolutely, take a break.
Phil Henry Show will be right back.
Phil Henry 先生一齊飛行， 我們現在正在3萬呎高空中飛翔， 順便告訴大家 Chopstick。
Phil Henry Show at 1-800-449-8686. David G. Hall, Vice President of Syndication for our show, is our guest. Many of you don't know what a morals clause is in a contract, and some of you do, and that simply is, for those of you who don't, a clause in your contract that says, for instance, as an entertainer, I have a clause in my contract that says, I don't think it's disclosing too much to say that I'm required to behave in a manner that will not bring disrepute to the radio stations or to the company that employs me. I can't get arrested. I can't get charged with any serious crime. I was involved in an incident on Saturday night that fortunately did not result in any arrest or anything, but David Hall is with us to talk a little bit about behaving in an upstanding way.
And Phil, one thing I wanted to make clear to the audience, I support you. I know you put yourself in a tough situation, but in many ways, a lot of people don't understand our relationship. But I feel like I'm a father to you in a lot of ways, and I need to keep. Sometimes a father needs to keep his kids in line. But you mentioned to me that you're doing everything that you can. You're going to church. You're tithing 10% of your money.
For instance, in what we're saying, this is part of my clause with your company, right?
That is right. And your wife stays home. She doesn't work. Now, you mentioned to me you did not get the Weaver's Loom, or you did?
I'm having a hard time finding it, but I think I've located a company that has a Weaver's Loom.
This is something that we ask all of our men employees to make sure when their wives are at home, purchase them a Weaver's Loom and a spinning wheel so that they can make much of the clothing that their men folk wear. And I think it's a tremendous thing.
I'm sorry, we had a little technical difficulty. Yes, I do, and I appreciate that very much. I'm going to go to another phone call, David.
Yeah, go ahead. Let's take some more calls.
All right.
I think this is very healthy tonight for you.
I do, too. I do, too. Here is Concord on the Phil Henry Show. Hi.
Hi.
Yes, ma'am. How are you?
I'm fine, thanks.
Great.
I just wanted to say that I totally agree with everything that David is saying. I'm completely behind it. The loom's a little much. I can understand what
you're... I'm sorry, man. You said what was a little much?
The loom?
The Weaver's Loom?
The Weaver's Loom's a little...
That is really a mainstay of our morals. But we want the wives... We believe... I guess we're too traditional, but we believe the men work, the women stay at home.
Well, I believe that, too.
Okay, great. Great. And we think that when a woman is at home, if she's idle, she may start thinking unhealthy thoughts, impure thoughts, or what have you. If you keep a woman busy, then she, you know, she won't, I don't know what you want to call it, get any alley cat in her blood.
And so the Weaver's Loom is for her to work at and...
To work at it. And, well, you may find that funny, man, but that's...
I don't think that I have to have a Weaver's Loom for my husband to make sure I'm being a good girl. That's all I'm saying.
No, I'm saying it's healthy for a family to make their own clothing and to, you know... You don't think that's healthy?
No, I think that that's great. If a woman can do that and she wants to make clothes, that's wonderful. I wish I could sew a button, but I mean everything else, I agree with what you're saying.
Are you on a cell phone?
Yes, I am.
Where are your children?
I'm sorry?
Where are your children right now?
My children are at home in bed.
And who are they with?
They're with my husband.
Phil, where's this call?
I'm sorry.
She's in Concord.
Are you Concord, North Carolina?
Yes.
That's 10:30 at night. What are you doing out?
I had a meeting tonight in Raleigh. I had a special
meeting. A meeting for what?
I had a meeting for my company. I had to do a presentation tonight.
See, this is what we're talking about.
What? I'm home all day.
You said that you believe in what we believe in, but you're working outside the home?
No, I work out of my house. I have my own business, but I had to do a special presentation tonight.
Is this a women's league or a women's auxiliary group? Or
no, it is not.
Well, then I don't believe that there's any excuse.
Well, that's fine. That's your opinion.
Well, it's part of
very healthy, well-adjusted.
See, but
children.
she's not working for a company where they have that morals clause.
Well, our company does.
I wouldn't be able to work for your company then.
I don't approve of you. What does your husband do?
My husband works also for himself.
So what is going on with your kids while you're out at 10:30 at night and your husband's running around? I don't understand.
My husband is not running around. My husband and I both work out of our home, so one of us is always with our children.
That's a hard one for me to swallow.
Well,
I don't know, you know, so in other words, you don't know anything about a weaver's loom.
I know what it is. I know it makes clothes, but
I don't. What a spinning wheel is? You know what a spinning wheel is?
Yes, I do.
And you don't know how to use either thing?
No. Absolutely, I can turn it. That's about it.
The lady thinks this is funny, Phil.
I think it's very funny about the weaver's
well,
loom.
If she doesn't understand, why do you think that they... It's just that David insists that all of the men who work here, their wives have weaver's looms.
What you need to do is stop gallivanting around late at night and be home with your children.
I'm not gallivanting around. I'm driving home to my children, who I'm with.
Well, at 10:30 at night.
That's right, because I had a special meeting to do.
In Raleigh, how far away is that from your home?
About 2 hours.
Good God. 2 hours away from your kids? You know what you need? Are men at this meeting?
I'm sorry?
Were there any men at this meeting?
Men and women, both, yes.
What?
I think what you need to do, ma'am, is look into the invigorating and the restorative powers of a weaver's loom and a spinning wheel. If your husband approves of you being in these all-night orgies with men and women, that's his business.
All-night orgies.
He couldn't... Well, I don't know what you're doing. You know, I just saying you couldn't work for us.
Well, I don't think she said that, but...
I don't think I would want
she's...
to.
Well, I thought you agreed with me.
I agree with some of your points.
You had an opposite-sex meeting at 10 o'clock on a weeknight.
You know what? If it turns you on to make that in your
mind, you need
to sign a morals code. Because that has nothing to do with what I was doing tonight.
Do you have a morals clause in your contract with the company you work for?
No, I work for myself.
Well, do you have a morals clause in your contract?
I have a morals clause with God. That's mine and God's.
You committed
morals
a sin here, not me.
I committed a sin.
I don't. If she was at a company meeting, okay.
Well, I would suggest. Well, you know, you don't work for me. You're right. I got no business. It just bothered me. That's all.
Well,
she doesn't.
You don't need to worry. My children are very well-adjusted children. They're just fine.
All right, ma'am. I thank you. Do you need any more on this call, Phil?
No, I would thank the lady for calling, though, very much. Okay, ma'am?
You're welcome. Thank you.
Thank you.
She called in and said she was going to agree with me, and then she's laughing at me. Things like this deteriorate a situation. I only know of one business that a woman starts for herself, okay? And you know what I'm talking about.
Yes, I do.
You know what I'm saying. You know, the only business a woman gets going and works for herself on, you know the one.
Yes, I understand.
Oldest profession, my man.
I understand what you're saying, okay?
All right. You do a lot of walking around, you know what I mean?
I understand that, sir. I got it. Our number is 1-800-449-8686.
What are you getting the weaver's loom?
I ordered a weaver's loom for my wife. You know, it's going to be in.
High heel loving. You know what
I got it already. Here is Atlanta on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hello?
Yes, sir. Hi.
Yes, this is Jim in Atlanta.
Hi, Jim.
I'm not sure where to start, and I don't know if I'm going to be able to stop. First of all, I want to say I'm a very moral person.
Yes, sir.
And everybody that I know considers me a moral person. I do not go to church, however.
We're not talking about you, are we?
No, we aren't. But I'm just leading into, Phil, I hope you get
six figures.
Do you get six figures?
Well, I can't disclose that, sir.
I understand that. But the idea is you make a lot of money.
Well, we don't know that.
If my wife did not work, we would not be able to support our children. And
well, you don't work for me.
Sir.
You don't work for me. I'm talking about what I demand of my people.
That's right, and I agree with you.
Now, I don't want the women.
Causes, sir.
I'm sure you agree with me, sir. Women out working... No. Too much.
Well, I respect your beliefs. But moral clauses are not always do not always have the same conditions on them.
Well, yeah, there are a lot of things. Like the other night, I was helping my wife with the dishes,
mm-hmm.
and I was telling her at the time.
Hold the line here for just a second. What did you say?
You talking about the gentleman?
No, you. What did you just say?
I said last week I was helping Maria clean up the dishes.
Why? Let me ask the guy in Atlanta. Do you do that?
I do all the cooking, sir. Does that make me immoral?
Sir, you know, you people laugh. You read your Bible, don't you?
Look, when I was a child, I read the Bible, and since then I have worked for organizations where I've worked for every kind of church in the world.
Okay, then you
the
know
only
what I'm
ones
saying.
That, Catholic included, the right. only ones that aggravated me were the ones that really tried to push what they believed on me.
Does
and
wife,
I really hope you pay Phil a lot of money because I think I could work under those conditions.
Does your wife do any knitting, any sewing? Does she work with a spinning wheel?
Now, look, I'm not trying to be sarcastic here.
Yes, sir.
But you sound like Rumpelstiltskin. That is the most archaic thing that I have ever heard in my life.
Who is Rumpelstiltskin?
It's that old...
Rumpelstiltskin.
I don't even know how to turn a stove on. That's how much work.
Well, you're
wife...
fortunate. I wish I had that situation.
Yeah.
My wife can't cook hot water.
There you go, my man.
You know, I can see that.
You're talking about you're talking about some guy named Rumpelstiltskin.
It's a fairy tale by Grimm.
What?
It's a fairy tale written by Grimm.
See, Rumpelstiltskin was a girl with long hair. She wove stuff, right, with her hair?
That's
or...
right, with her spinning wheel.
Oh, will you guys knock it off? I'm talking about a good American home where the woman stays with the children, weaves during the day. You know what I'm saying? Yes.
I can understand your situation. You probably make enough money in your... friends and all probably make enough money that you can afford to do that. But if you look at statistics,
any man
most
can.
American families are not traditional like that because they cannot afford it.
Well, that's in our morals clause, sir. You know, if you don't have to work for me.
No,
I demand every man that works for me does not ever, ever lift a finger to clean a dish. Now, you get that weaver's loom, Andre.
I told you that I found a store.
Well, get it.
I found a store that's got it. Here's Escondido on the Phil Henry Show. Hello? Escondido, hello? She there? Okay, see ya. Here is Wichita on the Phil Henry Show. Hi.
Hey, Phil. What's happening, Dave?
See ya. Here is Charlotte on the Phil Henry Show.
Hello.
Yes, sir.
Yes, I have something to say about that morals clause.
Yes, sir.
Is he an Amish or something?
You talking about me?
Yes.
Why do you think I'm Amish?
I mean, that's old-fashioned. I mean, it sounds like you're a male chauvinist.
What's old-fashioned about a woman sitting and pumping out a few sweaters?
I mean...
Does your wife have a weaver's loom?
No, sir.
Why not? Why not?
I don't have to make my own clothes. I go to the store and buy them like anybody...
Yeah, but how do you keep your woman busy?
Normal human being.
How do you keep your woman busy during the day?
I don't.
You don't? Look, you sound like a conservative guy. You should agree with me.
No.
Where are you from, Charlotte?
Yes.
Come on. You've got to agree with me.
No, sir.
A weaver's loom.
The moral
thought. Let me ask you a question, Phil. Did you really say you helped your wife with the dishes?
I did.
Jesus.
And the morals clause,
hey, get a load of this, sir. He helped his wife with the dishes.
Well, that's fine. I help my wife with the dishes, too.
I beg your pardon?
I help my wife with the dishes, too.
What is wrong with you guys?
I take out the trash. I help clean the house.
You do what?
It's a fair, equal thing.
Let me ask you a question. You put on a little apron with a feather duster?
Yeah, I might.
Get a load of this guy, fairly.
Well, everybody's home is different. That's the man's...
I don't hire any guy that puts on an apron.
All right.
And another thing, you said they have to go to church.
Let me ask you a question. Are you in
every 2 or 3 weeks?
Yeah, he's got to go to Mass every 2 or 3 weeks.
That's discrimination.
Hey, are you in a same-sex marriage?
Excuse me?
Are you in a same-sex marriage?
No, but you might be.
Oh, I might be, huh? Okay, I don't get it. I suggest a weaver's loom, man. That's the only thing that's going to bail you guys out.
All right, I got to take a break. I don't know whether you should ask the guy whether he's in a same-sex marriage or not just because he wears a apron with a feather duster. Well, or maybe you ought to. I don't know. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show. Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. David G. Hall, our Vice President of Syndication, is with us. We're going to do something a little unusual tonight. David mentioned to you that there are a handful of lay people within the Catholic Church who are allowed to say Mass, to consecrate a host, to hear confession, and it's a very exalted position. Generally, only priests can do that. When I say consecrate a host, that is the part of the Catholic Mass where the bread and wine becomes the blood and the body of Jesus Christ. Correct, David?
Yeah, let me explain it to people in the best way I can. The Catholic Church set aside a certain number of lay people, that is, people who are non-clerics, that in case, for whatever reason in the community, the priest was sick or could not say Mass, there would be at least one person who could. I happen to be that person in our community where we live.
So you're able to say Mass?
Yes, I am. And I brought that up to Phil because as an individual is also able to say Mass, I'm also able to hear confession and absolve you of your sins. That is something that traditionally only a Catholic priest can do.
I understand. Now, what David mentioned to me was he thought it would be interesting if I actually said my confession on the air here, because I, as I mentioned, I had a tough weekend. I almost got into a fight, and just a lot of things. I have a morals clause in my contract. Just a lot of things have been going on with me. And I will say that I do feel a little bit uncomfortable doing this.
But, Phil, it's educational. It's no less valid, and I think it'll give people an insight into how honest you are as a person.
All right. In the Catholic confession, one goes into the confessional, and one says, "Bless me, Father, for I have sinned."
But in this case, because I'm not a priest, technically, I want you to say, "Bless me, David, for I have sinned," and then you say how long it's been, and then we'll do the confession.
All right.
Go ahead.
"Bless me, David, for I have sinned. It's been 2 weeks since my last confession."
Yes, my son. Go ahead.
"I caused a possible violent situation this past weekend, for which I'm very, very sorry."
What happened?
Well, I'd rather not say, because we're on the air.
Well, what happened? What, did you get into a guy's face or something?
We're on the air right now. I'd rather not say.
You want to do a good confession, or don't you?
I'm not going to say the whole thing.
All right, chicken. What did you do? You get into a guy's face or something?
Yeah, I got into... Yeah, it was a misunderstanding, all right?
Are you arguing with me? I'm the priest, okay?
Well, you said yourself you're not a priest.
Yeah, but I'm the guy that's absolving you of your sins, aren't I? Aren't I?
Yes, you are, sir.
All right. Don't sit here and argue with me. You got into a violent situation, right?
Yes, sir, I did.
What else?
"Bless me, David, for I have sinned. I helped my wife do menial tasks, best assigned to woman folk. I did, and I do confess to helping her with the dishes, letting her sleep in while I made breakfast for the kids, and allowing her to go out with her girlfriends while I took care of the kids.
Jesus.
For these sins, I am heartily sorry."
All right. Well, let me say to you, Phil, that you know in your morals clause, you don't help women do dishes. And you don't let them go out with their girlfriends while you take care of the kids. That just isn't going to happen as long as you're working for me, right?
Yes, sir.
Now, you have gone out and got the weaving loom. You have gone out and gotten the spinning wheel. I would like, for your penance, to give you 3 Hail Marys and 2 Our Fathers. Actually, I would like you to do 5 Hail Davids. You know how that goes, don't you?
Yes, I do. Can I take a call before I do that?
Yeah.
Here is Tampa on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hello, sir.
Yes, hi.
Hi. I just had a little bit of a... I don't know. See, I didn't hear the whole show,
mm-hmm.
but it sounds to me like your guest has a lot of disdain for women.
No, I love women. It's just that women, obviously, for a healthy home, should be with the children folk. The women folk should be with the children. Don't you agree?
I think in an ideal situation, yes.
Well, in Henry's situation, I love women that know their place. I love women, you know.
Well, what I'd like
but
to know
But they
got
to know their place.
Do you what I'd like to know also is what do you think about women like myself who are young women who are dedicated to the Lord but haven't found their lifelong partner yet?
Well, I think you can join some church groups. There are a lot of, you know the weaving loom I'm talking about?
Sir, I don't do that.
You do not weave your own clothes. Do you know that the Bible tells us? Do you know your place?
Do I know my place?
Yeah, you know your place, don't you?
My place as far as what?
Your place. All right, hold on for just a minute, Phil.
Well, you know what I'd like to do is there's another lady in Marietta to join this lady in Tampa. Go ahead, the lady in Marietta, while the lady in Tampa thinks about your question.
Yeah, think about where is your place. The lady in Tampa? Ma'am?
Yes, sir. I think about where your place and what?
Think about where your place is. Marietta, you there?
Yes, I am.
Go ahead. Where's your place?
Marietta, Georgia. I'm a 35-year-old woman, a mother of a 2-year-old.
Do you know your place? Hello?
Yes, I know my place.
Ah, that's all I wanted to hear.
As I define it, I don't know if I know my place as you define it.
Okay, what we'll do is I'll let the ladies hang on for a minute in Tampa and Marietta. We'll be right back. Phil Henry Show.
What, are you going to take this into the next hour?
Yeah.
No material, huh?
I guess not.